I feel like sometimes I play small. You know, they say playing small doesn't protect you. It really just ensures the world never sees the greatness that you're capable of. But I feel like sometimes when I show up in rooms, I feel like I have to downplay myself almost. And I don't know how to make myself just come out of that. Like this past weekend, we were at Podcast Summit and we went to the Inner Circle or the MMU barbecue. And I felt like I almost couldn't be the Edwina that I normally am. Like I had to play smaller and kind of shrink myself in the room because it felt so much bigger than what I am. And I don't know how to break myself from what that feels like and to just get out of that because I have so much to offer. And it really just feels like it's all in my mind because a lot of people will come to us and say, hey, you know, I want to work with you. Hey, you guys are doing big things or whatever. Maybe I just let social media trick me out of being great. I don't know, but I don't know how to show up as my authentic self and say, hey, I'm not playing small because what I bring to the table can be great.
Man, I'm so ready for this conversation. Listen, y'all, the Boss Fest podcast finna bring y'all something new and exciting. Listen, we finna bring the heat. Stay tuned.
BOSSFEST, the Boss Fest podcast. They might make you laugh, make you mad, make you cry. Either way it go, it's a vibe. Tune in, catch the topic, get the tea. Ain't no shallow waters over here, we get deep. You sensitive, easy to offend, you need to flee. But the tough conversations gonna be happening. Boss Fest Podcast, they hold it down. Wednesday, 7 Eastern, man, it's going down. Tell a friend, and y'all gather round. Get active in the comments, don't get lost in the crowd.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man, DJ Bush. I had to show love to Kevin and Edwina, Boss Fest Butler. Y'all know what time it is, the Boss Fest Podcast. But you already know what we live in.
Boss Life. BOSSFEST, Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right. BOSSFEST, the Boss Fest Podcast. They might make you laugh, make you mad, make you cry. Either way it go, it's a vibe.
Man, welcome back to the Boss Fest Podcast. It's your boy Kevin. How y'all doing today? Bae, we starting out hot, huh?
Yeah, like let's throw it all out there, right? There's no need to pretend. And sometimes it's easier to just, you know, say how you feel or you know, what's going on. And I'm showing my true self. Sometimes I feel like I play myself small.
So you brought up this weekend's event. So for those who wasn't watching on social media, shame on you. But this past weekend, pretty much Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we was in Atlanta attending the podcast summit. And when I tell you this,
it was lit.
An amazing event. Different people in the room, different mindsets. It was just a space to grow and cultivate yourself. And I always told myself is that when we get in these rooms, we get in this space, and when we get to this certain ticket level, right? Because, you know, everything is, we don't really want to judge people on ticket levels, but we do, right? But I said, once we got to this certain ticket level, will we be in a different mindset? And according to you, you still felt small, huh?
So let me go back in time to just say last year at Podcast Summit, because we've been to every Podcast Summit that David Shands has had. Last year we were in general admission, and I remember telling myself then, you know, like we're going to start 2025 off different, and I'm going to get myself in VIP, because once you get into those higher ticket level prices, you start saying like, hey, the value that I'm getting, the connections that I'm getting, I feel like I can't go back. And obviously, you know, we do Boss Fest. So I'm like, I want to feel what VIP feels. So when people come to Boss Fest, I'm giving them that type of experience, right? But going into Podcast Summit this year and not only saying, hey, let's get VIP, let's get Inner Circle. It felt like the difference in the movements that we had made to be able to get to that point. Although, you know, it's a ticket level, but it felt like growth, right? So I'm not going to shortchange what that was when people were like, hey, you check your off the list of the things that you've done for the year. And I'm like, hey, you know what? We've done better at this. We've gotten better at this. These are the things that we're doing to step our business in the right, in, you know, on the right path. So we're coming in at Inner Circle, and then you get in this room with all these people and you're like, I got to network and I got to showcase myself. And I'm like, is that me? And then you start feeling like, hey, when I tell you, you know, this is what I'm doing in business, are you going to be like, what? And then every time somebody heard what we were doing, they were wild and let me follow you and I got to whatever. So it was really just all in my head.
It really was all in your head, because I'm going to tell you, this might have been the first event where I felt okay. And what I mean by that is, typically when we go in these spaces and we be in these rooms, I always wonder, do I belong in the room? This was the first time at the highest ticket level. I didn't ever question it. In a space where, you know, I'm typically an introvert, or at least that's the excuse I've given myself over the years, not to be engaging or speak to people.
Come on now with the excuse. All right.
So I've always told myself that, oh man, the reason why I don't move the way I want to move or act the way I certainly act in certain spaces is because I don't really like talking to people. That is a lie. I got into these rooms. I got into these spaces. It was like, man, let me talk to you. Let me interact with you. What are you doing? What is your business? By the time I looked around, I done passed out most of my flyers. I done shook hands with half of the room. I'm trying to figure out who can I get on the podcast. It's like, man, what else can I do to be great in this space? And I really do feel like, you know, I stepped out of my shell a little bit in this time. I don't know if you agree with me.
I'm going to agree with you. But so now think about it in the other aspect, because I play in my head and I like to use, you know, like my Gemini-ness as an excuse sometimes. But it's kind of like I can turn into a chameleon depending on what the situation is. But in this particular room, I think I even walked with my head down. I remember there was a couple times where Brandon Dixon, our Brandon, shot me, was trying to get my attention and like, hey, you know, sis, like, you know, give me a hug or whatever. And we're in rooms where other entrepreneurs recognize who we are. And, you know, like, hey, what's up, Boss Fest? When is the next? You know, people asking us questions about things. But he was even trying to get my attention and I couldn't see him. And this didn't happen like once. This happened a couple times. But people can't get your attention and see you if you're walking with your head down. And that's because that's how I was feeling small in this space. So when you talk about, man, playing small is canceled, it's like, man, you need to show up in this room like you belong in this room. Like, people are looking to you for, you know, whatever the product is or whatever you have going on, and you're making moves. Understand that, but there was a lot of money in the room, and I think sometimes you get into your own head and you think about what somebody else has, or you start looking at the moves they made. Oh, well, they came with a camera crew, or they did this, and then you start undervaluing what you bring. And I think I did that to myself.
That's crazy, because typically this is the reverse, right? Typically when we go in these spaces, you are the person that's like, let me go get it, let me do this, let me, like, Kevin, go over there. Kevin, go do that. I'm like, no, leave me alone. To the point where it almost starts fights and arguments between us where we can't even enjoy the event. And this time I was like, man, I think I had to prepare myself. I don't know if you actually prepared yourself for the event or for the day, but there were certain things I did to make sure that I wasn't playing myself small. The first thing I did was I had a conversation with you and I said, hey, listen, babe, I know typically when we walk in these spaces, when we walk in these rooms, we are at each other's throat because we're trying to promote ourselves, promote a brand. And I don't know if we'd be looking for each other to jump in and have the conversation, but the best way for me to feel like I need to flow in these spaces is just don't say nothing to me about saying anything to anyone. Allow me to work through my nerves and my emotions in it and let me go. And I was already preparing myself for that, not when we got on the flight, not that morning before. I was already preparing for that a week before the event, telling myself, hey, when I hit this space, when I hit these rooms, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm going to move. This is how I'm going to flow. And if I hit a roadblock, don't allow that first roadblock to be to discourage you. Figure out another play. Figure out someone else you can engage with and keep moving. Typically what happens when you're in these spaces, everybody kind of finds whatever group or niche they're in or community they have outside of the main community, and they stick together. And you don't ever want to feel like you're that person just invading someone else's personal space, especially if they talk about stuff. But I realized that, man, these people want to have conversations. They may not even know how to approach the game. And that's what I started to realize. Like, man, let me just go. Let me talk to you. Let me speak with you. Whatever the conversation goes, whether you want to hear what I got to say or you blow me off or whatever, I'm at least going to be able to present myself and say, I did that. And I was preparing for that 2 weeks before we even got on the flight.
I mean, that's important for you to say, because I didn't do a preparation in that aspect, right? Like in going to podcast summit, like I prepared as far as making sure our flights were good and everything was in line with the travel, but I didn't mentally prepare myself. And I've been very engulfed into, you know, what's happening with Boss Fest and the right moves that we're making. So as far as coming to this particular room, there wasn't a lot of preparation, which some of these people like I talked to are like I'm around per se, like almost every morning. Right. So I shouldn't have felt, you know, a different type of way. But if I'm saying this to be completely transparent, sometimes in certain rooms, it's like I feel like I have to make myself smaller or less than. And I don't know why that is. And again, I can now understand, hey, this is just something that's happening in your head, which is why we're saying playing small is canceled. Because I know I'm not the only person that gets into a room or like you have these big thoughts and these big things. And then all of a sudden you're now in a room of other like-minded individuals and you're not executing whatever your goal was. You're not making that connection. You're not networking because you're all in your head.
Listen, that's powerful. And it took a while for me to get here. And typically it's, hey, I'm the one that's kind of going through my challenges and my emotions. And it took me a while to get to this place. And it took a lot of reading, self-development, things of that nature. Just kind of looking at the business from the outside looking in, right? If I saw someone that looked like me trying to sell me something, how would I respond to them, right? And I started to process it. I was like, man, and I really wasn't happy with what I was seeing. I know I got good information, but sometimes it's more than that. And what happens is when you start entering these spaces, you start trying to mimic the things that you believe people want to see, like the jewelry, the fancy clothes, the designer stuff. And sometimes you put on all these layers, I'm going to call it this armor, to protect yourself and your emotions, because deep inside you're scared, but you're hoping that these layers of this armor you just placed on gives you a little bit of self-worth and courage. And I realized that it's never going to be me. I'm never going to be Gucci down. I'm never going to be iced out or wear a million necklaces and diamonds, all this stuff. I'm really simple, but my simplicity is okay, long as I master my craft. And I said, man, that's what I got to start doing. I got to start mastering who I am as a person. And once I started becoming more into that, I started to see things just kind of open up. And that event was the first step for me to kind of see how it flowed, going into the rooms, talking to the people. Like you said, your head is down. I've already recognized the people numerous from like up scanning the room now, trying to make, hey man, I know it should be about 3 or 4 people in this room that's going to be on the Boss Fest stage. Do I even see them? So I'm scanning the rooms. As soon as we pull up to the venue, I seen Brandon, but he was talking. I walked past him. Next thing I know, he coming behind me. Kid, what's going on, man? Where we at? She's somewhere around here. Like, but that's when I think you went to the bathroom. But I'm like, man, I wanted to be aware of my environment and my surroundings. Like going and sitting in the inner circle rooms with David Shands in the MMU community. Like I wanted to make sure my presence was felt. Handing him that flyer in that moment, like, hey man, typically I wouldn't want to show somebody something like that. Like, oh man, I'm scared. Like, hold on, man, I'm proud of this. Here, look at this flyer. Look at what we're doing. Look what we accomplished. And just to see his reaction to the flyer, when he is somebody who hates flyers.
I'm not going to say the man hates a flyer.
Well, let me say this.
I will say that because we work with him, you know, we've had like the MMU work days. He has hated some of our flyers. Like, you know, if we're being transparent.
So he hates flyers. All I know is he hates flyers. I don't know who Flyers he likes.
But that's two different things to say he hates Flyers, because that's saying he hates all Flyers. I'm saying that he hated a body of work that we did, and he was like, you could do better. And those are the type of people you honestly need to be around and look at something and say, you could put out something a little better than this. So, you know, I can respect it. But he did look at the Flyer and see himself on it and say, whew, that thing right there is fire. And that felt good in the moment to say, like, man, I'm hitting a Boss Fest stage. Y'all got me looking good.
And I'm only thinking about how we can continue to build upon those things. So I think that was the catalyst, right? If the person that's going to be on the stage at the event we're attending to is already is showing normal love and energy, it don't matter what nobody else in that room do. Everybody else is trying to be next to that person. How many people that we see sitting around, looking around, wanting to go talk, but was afraid to move? And the few people that were, that had the courage to go and speak and engage, had pleasant conversations. And people seeing me and this man interacting as if like we've been friends for years, dapping up, having a conversation. I know people like, dang, who is that dude? And I think that what kind of led to some of the positive energy and the changes. And that first step of me be like, man, when I step in these rooms, when I create these events, when I do this stuff, I'm no longer going to minimize myself to match what I think somebody wants to see or to give somebody else a false sense of elevation over me. So I'm done playing small. And we're going to see what the rest of this year turns out, because I am excited. Playing small is definitely canceled.
I'm glad that you're excited. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
So we've done events, obviously, for the last few years. And I know there's been events where people will say, or you've heard of people say like, hey, I don't want to get in the room because I don't know who you are as a person, or I don't know what Boss Fest is. And we've had those type of conversations. Like you've told me, hey, so-and-so said XYZ. We probably even talked about it on the podcast. And those conversations have affected you. But you're saying now you're done playing small. So I'm sure those conversations won't stop. So are you now handling them differently?
I am. So first off, great question. I'm still working on me, right? And I'm pretty sure the right person in the right setting could possibly trigger some of those bad habits. But I'm trying to break as many of those self-doubting things as possible. So that way, when it happens, I can recognize it quicker, pivot, adjust, and keep flowing. And a lot of times, you know, when people be talking about, you know, when you be thinking about putting your dream out there, your vision out there, your goals out there, it's a scary thing to tell it to somebody or even to show it to somebody. This Boss Fest vision that we have created, driven by you, give you your kudos, driven by you, that it's a dream, right? What we wanted to do, we want to be those people who are teaching and engaging and marketing ourselves as an expert in certain fields. We've done it in the corporate space on so many levels that companies look to promote and move us to different areas. And I'm like, man, how do we transform that into our own business? The only reason why we haven't thought about it before is because we were comfortable where we at, and we didn't realize how that comfortability limited us. And for a while there, I was still be like, man, I'm 9-to-5 mindset. I know you'll hit me with it all the time. You got a 9-to-5 mindset. I got a pay the bill mindset for sure. But that entrepreneur spirit is burning bright in me. And I'm like, man, how do we transform this for real? How do we make it really what it needs to do and how we shake it? And I think we finally got this Boss Fest thing to be what it is, right? It's about educating. It's about empowerment. It's about teaching those people who want to get an additional, bring in an additional income, the ways to do it in the communities that you need to be a part of to continue to grow and thrive. If we just started this business yesterday, and we stayed looking at the same people who were doing the same thing in the same communities, we wouldn't, this junk would have been done a year later. But we kept evolving. We kept adapting. And through that evolution, I am now at this place.
Okay. So when you talk about, because you said something about the 9-to-5 mindset.
Right.
So while you're saying that you have a pay the bills mindset, are you now more apt to be like, let me embrace what this entrepreneurship thing is? Can you see a different future for yourself?
I can now. Before I couldn't. And the reason why I couldn't is because I didn't believe enough in myself, right? And I think that's where most people in these in this entrepreneur space, they don't believe enough in themselves to see what that next journey or that next step looks like. That's why people quit before they really get started. That's why some people never start. It's because they don't have enough confidence in themselves. And those few people that do start, congratulations on starting. Figure out how you keep going. And it takes development. It takes being around the right people. But more importantly, it's understanding that when you're breaking habits or when you're trying to create something that's can be life-changing or generational changing for you and your community or your family, sometimes it isn't instant. And when we get on social media all the time and we look at people's stuff, only thing we see is the instant, right? By the time we recognize somebody, they've already popped in their heart. And they're like, oh my God, how did you get here? But you didn't see the 2, 3 years, 4, 5 years before then when they were just sitting in front of a camera doing nothing, or they were just grinding away in their business, where they was putting all the extra money into something, where they didn't have enough to pay mortgage or light bills or car notes, and they pretty much living out of whatever they can to make it work. Then they finally said, hey man, it's go time. What do we do? But it was those little things over a course of time that turned into a big pivot. And this book I'm reading called Atomic Habits, right? By James Clear. It talks about those things, right? Real change doesn't happen instantly. Real change builds over a period of time. And that period of time is determined upon your hustle, right? So if I want to be a millionaire tomorrow, my reality of it is it's not going to happen. But if I start thinking about how does a millionaire move and act and play, then I start building those habits to make put me in a millionaire mindset. And that's where I'm at with this. I'm changing these. I'm trying to break bad habits. And every bad habit that I've recognized that I need to break, I started to feel a little bit more comfortable in the places I'm going.
I mean, it even sounds like, if I can for a second, the you talking to me now opposed to the you talking to me, like, let's say a few episodes ago, feels like a different person almost. So I can definitely see the difference. And I just want to say that because I listened to you talk and I was like, did he listen to some ET before he got on this podcast? Did he get in the mirror and say, I am? Because like, what is happening here?
Over time, habits that I was forming and building were creating this new version of me. It took for me to read the right passage in the right book or hear the right speech or see the right person in a moment and be like, you know what? I'm doing okay. But it took for me to get away from sometimes the negative stuff, right? We look at our social media all the time. I be seeing comments out there on the book. And I think this happens with everyone. They be like, man, are they talking about me?
Yeah, I think that happens to everyone. You just relate. People talking about something right. In general, a whole different situation. And you saying like, why they even talk like, yeah.
Right. Somebody put a comment out there, you know them, and that comment hit you or it triggered you, right? They couldn't even been talking about you. You may be the furthest thing from their mind, or maybe you are the person they was talking about, depending upon when things come about. So we ain't gonna play in that space either. But I started to realize that, man, those things were impacting me more than what I gave credit to. But once I realized that was a trigger for me, I said, all right, well, the best way for me to fix that is work on the behavior that triggered it. And if it was, hey man, why would I go to somebody's event and they ain't really teaching? Okay, why don't they think I'm teaching? Or why don't they think something's happening? What can I do to be better? Fix that part of it. So that way when they come to me and they have these conversations, they're talking to me about grants or anything like that, or starting up a business, my information is instantaneous. I'm hitting it with it so fast, they be like, oh, okay, you know what he's talking about. But I had to develop that cadence. And I've been working on it. You're just now starting to feel it more. And I think the people that are closest to us don't always see the results instantly because they remember the old you. That's why you got to sometimes shake away from them people who remember the old you, because when you move forward and you start leaving them behind, they ain't going to talk about the new you that you're becoming. They're going to remember the old you was. So I'm learning, hey, man, them comments, if it was for me, thank you. If it wasn't for me, thank you. I still needed to see it.
Okay, that's gross, because, you know, sometimes I have a moment of non-growth and I like to address certain things. So maybe you are growing for the both of us, but I do remember the comment that you were talking about, and I didn't think they were talking about us at all. So, I mean, it is all in the perception. And I think a lot of times what social media will do is play on how you feel about yourself in that moment. So, you know, if you felt a certain type of way about where you were, then that comment could apply to you. But if you were on the up on things and you're like, that ain't even me. So again, it probably had nothing to do with you. It's just how you feel in the moment that you're reading it. Much like how people say text messaging is, right? You read it, right? how you feel.
You read a message how you feel.
Now, I want to ask you this question. We can relate it back to playing small, but when we were at the conference, they talked about your network, right? And how you can't be the most successful person in the network you're in. And I remember listening to that and hearing, like, that makes sense to me, because you got to get in a room where you do feel small, because those people are going to help you grow and help you develop. So what do you think about that?
So I look at that differently, right? So Okay. Me being, how do you say, you don't ever want to be the smartest person in the room, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely don't want to be the dumbest person in the room, but I definitely want to be around people who are making business decisions or even personal decisions that I can look at and be like, man, you know what? That's a good decision. It makes me challenge my way of thinking. And I believe that when you're in those rooms, it's not necessarily you're not playing small. You're building yourself up. And I don't really see it the same way, but.
Well, I wasn't saying that you're playing small in the room, but I'm saying sometimes you can feel small in the room because the other people may be further advanced in business. But obviously those are the rooms you need to be in, because what they're saying is if you're in a room of no gatekeepers and they are, let's say, four steps ahead of you in business, the no gatekeepers are going to help you get to where they are. Finding the right room. Do you feel like you're in an environment right now in your business where you have that to be able to grow and develop?
Do I feel like I'm in the right rooms?
Yes.
I feel like I'm creating my own rooms. So, and I'll break that down. Everybody uses social media either as a tool or a crutch. And for a while I was using it as a crutch, but as we started advancing in this business space, I was like, man, how can we use this as a tool? When we put together Boss Fest, it's about bringing in the people that we want to be around, right? Building the connections we want to be with. And it was like, man, how do you show people your value and your worth while also being able to help and uplift people at the same time? And those things for me have become like intuitive to how I'm moving now. And I'm trying to make sure that the rooms I in or the rooms that I create are always bigger than me. So that way I can continue to grow and see what it looks like. And
do you think it's healthy to just, because you're saying you create the rooms, but if you're creating the room, then you're also the gatekeeper of who gets into the room. So do you think that's healthy in development and growth to just always be creating the space?
I don't know if it's healthy or not, but so far it's shown success, right? Who knows where that path may really end? But I know there are people out there who aren't creating any rooms, who also are not even getting any spaces to build themselves, but they want people to follow them and believe that they are the foremost expert in whatever it is they're talking about. For me, I don't ever think I'm the expert. I have some knowledge. I've niched it down. I can get you where you need to go in these particular fields, but there's always somebody that's doing better than me. When I'm looking at grant writing stuff, I'm looking at other people's stuff, like creating my templates. I'm looking at other grant writers. I'm thinking about going to a grant writer conference the next year, just so that way I can expand upon that and be in those spaces. And I, like I said, I want to be in rooms where people know more than me. People are doing more than me. People have more than me. I don't want to be the person with the most money in their pocket in the room. I want to be like, damn, I'm broke.
Right. So then, I mean, it just brings me back to just the last statement that you said, that maybe it's not about you creating all the rooms. It sounds like maybe you need to get into some rooms where you do, you're the broke person in the room.
And we do that. Well, that happens. I try my best to, you know, when we enter those spaces, understand what there is to gain from it and how to move forward. But I got a question for you. So, and this kind of goes back to Podcast Summit. So, last day of the event, our speaker going to be on the stage, Brandon Dixon, hit the stage with Donnie Wiggins of the Social Proof Podcast. She gave her end of speech monologue where she was talking about, you know, where you're going with your business, why are you here, things of that nature. And, you know, she kind of asked people, hey, was you at Podcast Summit last year? Stand up. If you was at Podcast Summit, you before that, stay standing. And then she kind of looked out at the audience and she was like, well, why are you haven't done what you were supposed to do? And I know there was people around us that felt a certain type of way. Did you feel a certain type of way when she delivered that message?
Yeah, so I remember what you're saying. To, I guess, bring context to it, Donnie Wiggins, she's the other half of, you know, Social Proof Podcast, but she was basically getting the room lit, or, you know, like firing up the room before David Shands hit the stage. Right. And she kind of is like the pre-speaker before he's going into the sales pitch, right? We've been to enough conferences where we kind of understand what's about to happen here. And I think Donnie, because I love Donnie, was very fired up. And it wasn't that she said that we do everything that we were supposed to do last year. What she said was, you know, if you haven't started a podcast, you know, she was kind of singling out people. If you have started your podcast, then stay standing. If you were at Podcast Summit last year, then stay standing. Why did you lie to yourself? Say that I'm a liar, is what she said. So if you are a liar, then stay standing, because you're still here in the audience at Podcast Summit. You're, you know, and that's the part that I was like, all right, that hit me a certain type of way, because what we were saying around us was we didn't lie to ourselves. In fact, what I felt like, so I'll embrace that message, because a lot of people were like, hold on now, you're making me feel a certain type of way. But for me, what she made me do, it was like almost the opposite. And it was like she was giving me the affirmations behind what we did do. Because when she said, say that I'm a liar, I'm like, I'm not going to say that I'm a liar, because I did the things that I said I was going to do last year. I came to Podcast Summit last year in general admission. I'm sitting in front of your face right now in Inner Circle. So there obviously was a shift in my business and, you know, for what I felt valuable to bring here. But no matter how big we get in business, I think we will still go to Podcast Summit because of the network and the success it's helped us with, the understanding that it's been. Like if he had another ticket level outside of, you know, Inner Circle, like inner circle, we may get that. But the point was, I don't think that's what she meant to do, is like turn people off. I do think it did do that to some, but for me, it helped me reflect on the things that we did do over the last 12 months. And I have a hard time with that as an individual, is sitting back and saying, hey, there has been growth. Hey, you have done a good job. Look at what you've done. Because I'm always looking ahead and thinking about what hasn't been done and what still needs to be done. And it feels like a huge mountain to climb. Instead of looking back and saying, look how far you came, you halfway there. And I think she helped me do that.
That's amazing, because I had to sit back and look. When she was saying that, typically, you know, first thing we want to do is we want to react to people's words to us, right? And I'm learning that, hey, if you say something and I immediately got to react to it, you got me. And I struggle with that with you. In particular, and I think that's because it's just our dynamic, husband and wife. We know what to say and do to each other that just makes us react and things like that. But I'm like, man, who else pulls that out of me? And it ain't that many people besides you and my kids that can make me react before I think about what I need to say, or make me question if I am doing the good thing or the right thing. I remember sitting in that space last year, and it was, man, we told ourselves, man, we're going to get David Shands on the Boss Fest stage. You said that. We tried to pull it off early in the year in 2024. Whatever the complications was, we wasn't able to do it. It felt like a blow, right? But what it showed us is that, man, you know, even though we stumbled on this one, we still learned something. And it allowed for us
to— Yeah, so it did not feel like, it didn't. So at the time, it felt heartbreaking because we weren't able to pull it off, not out of something out of like our own doing. It was so many obstacles in the way, but everything was lining up to where it felt like it was going to be like a really amazing thing. And then when I sat back and I thought about it and I said, man, like, my goal is to get my coach on the stage, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, man, that's not even that far-fetched. It's not that hard to do. We've just done the steps. Like, we just duplicated it. And I remember we were in Atlanta and we were doing a podcast with Brandon Dixon at the time. And we just threw the idea at him, you know, like, hey, you know, David, what about being on Boss Fest? And he was like, I don't do dates all early, you know, like, I don't know. And then within 5 seconds, and I say 5 seconds, it might have been 3 minutes, because we were going to get food with Lamar, actually. But his team had called twice and was like, all right, so David, for real about this, like, let's make this happen. And so when you think about the behaviors that you have to reduplicate to make that happen, it felt small when we had to do it again. Because when it was time to do it again, I think you stood up and said, hey, you know, Boss Fest is going to be in October, but we know you don't do dates all early. And he said, hold on now, don't count me out. And it was like, wait, the work has already been done. Because that's what it took. Like, that small conversation is what was needed to have for him to say, I'm with it.
You still there?
Yeah, you don't see me?
I can hear you, but I can't see you. I'm just trying to make sure. I don't know if anybody else can hear you, but
I see me. And I hear me.
So just on top of what Edwina's talking about, let me shift this over a little bit, see if I can.
I think it's your Wi-Fi, sir.
Because we had failed in that endeavor, right, the first time, and I know she won't see it as a
I'm failure, not going to say that I failed. Sometimes you lose,
right? Because we were trying to pull our teachers on the stage, and we fell short. And we like, man, how do we make sure next time we minimize those pitfalls? And we started grinding even harder and trying to pull the different angles and adjust things. Look like you finally made it back. Can you hear me?
I was always here. No, I don't think anybody else lost me. So,
maybe it's me that was lost.
Yes. But I do want to correct your words as you go along this story.
Okay.
And if I could backtrack a little bit, and I want to make sure that I say and I speak into existence, because I'm learning that it's important for me. Yes, we didn't fail. What I did was I learned.
Ooh, you learned. I like
and
that.
So like I told you in that story, I learned how to be able to communicate with his team. I learned how to get him on a stage. Ooh. So when you go after these people and you think, you know what I'm saying, like these coaches and these business people, even if you're talking about like R&B people that you want to come to your events or whatever that may be, sometimes we put people on a higher pedestal than what they should be, right? Because you see them on TV and you enter, you know, like it just seems like they may be hard to get to. So we just think of them as bigger than what they are. They're just people, right? And what I learned through that experience is that's all it is. It's a call. It's an email. It's whatever that takes to be able to say, this is what I'm doing, and somebody to be interested in it. And if you're moving and you have motion, a lot of times people are attracted to that. So I just wanted to correct that verbiage and say, we didn't fail in that. We learned from that. And what we learned was how we wanted to put on a better networking, a better conference for going forward.
Yes, ma'am. I will retract my statement and I will insert your statement. No problem. Thank you.
For the people in the back, we say thank you.
So we're talking about playing small in business. But playing small is more than just in a business space. It can be in a personal space. It can be in a friendship space. How many times have you been the friend who had to suppress your voice just so that the other friend could feel important, right? I've listened to so many conversations. I'm not going to say they've been in my household. They could have been outside of my household, whatever. But I've listened to so many where I know the person who I'm in the presence of is minimizing themselves.
You're being very shady right now. I don't know what you're talking about, but the way that you're saying shady.
Wait, why you think I'm talking about you? I'm in the presence of people all the time. I'm in the presence of leaders. See, because I said it, it hit you. But I'm talking about people at work and things.
As people are listening, they can call it what they want to, but I feel the shade. It's like I'm getting strays. I don't know why, where the story is going. But go ahead, finish. You're not talking about me,
if it hit, it hit. But I'm saying that, do we want to keep playing small in those spaces too? Like, what benefit do we get by minimizing our voice in those endeavors? I think sometimes we feel like we may lose friendships or we may lose connections and things of that nature. But I think what happens is that it maybe wasn't a true connection to begin with. And I'll give a real life example, right? So my friend Benny, we've known each other since high school, played against each other, basketball rivals and all that stuff. He has a photography business. So last year, my daughter was graduating and we booked him for services, right? And I didn't do everything that I was supposed to do in making sure all the funds made it to him and things of that nature. And the booking got canceled the day before he's supposed to do it. And I sat on that for a minute, right? And it was like, man, do I really want to say anything? Like, I know I didn't do the right thing. He didn't do the right thing. I don't know. It just felt like as a friend, it should have been more with this, right? But I said, you know what? I'm not going to. You know what? I think I just need to say what I need to say. Regardless of what the results lead, I'm cool with how this plays out. I reached out to him. I said my piece. He said his piece. I think both of us we had our own version of what right looked like in that moment. But we was able to continue to talk and still be friends and interact and still hang out and play basketball and do everything else. But I think sometimes when those tough conversations happen, especially around friends and things of that nature and family, we always think, you know what, we can't truly say that we're upset or that bothered us because we're afraid of what that may do to the other person and potentially losing that person. And I thought about it, I said, man, if me being transparent in this moment is going to cause me to lose a friend, then maybe they really wasn't my friend to begin with. And I just wonder how many times have anybody out there, anybody listening, anybody who listened to this later or whatever, how many times have you played small in a situation just to make somebody else feel bigger, but it ate you up inside that you just wasn't transparent? I ain't talking about being mean or nasty to them, but just because you didn't feel like you could say what you wanted to because you had to think about that.
We have a lot of conversations and they stay, you know, like on the business level. But I know you said you wasn't talking about me, wink, wink, right?
Wink, wink.
Exactly. But there are a lot of times where I do think that I play, you know, like small in that example that you gave. I know when we were planning to get married, I had a group of friends and, you know, most women go through something similar, which I guess in that moment that should tell you maybe you're not in the right group of friends or, you know, the right connections. So I'm just saying it goes into the line of what you're saying. But I remember having this group of friends and I'm telling everybody, you know, hey, we're about to get married and I want you to, you know, this part and, you know, whatever your parts are as far as that goes. And the person that was going to be my maid of honor, so that means the right hand standing next to me, we've been friends for the last, what was it, like year and a half, 2 years or so. You're supposed to be the godmother of my kid. And so it's not like our relationship is new. We've been through IVF. We've been together for a while. Everybody in the group knows who you are. But the moment I said wedding and now here's the plans, everything changed in that friend group. And it became, I don't have time for you. I don't have time for any of your wedding stuff. I don't even really do you like that. And it made me really say, like, dang, man, I had been making myself smaller for this group. And once I got a voice and got tired of that, I no longer had those friends.
Yeah. That voice got loud that day. It got very loud that day, y'all.
But the point is, I'm using that real life example outside of business to say what you're saying is very true. And sometimes, you know, you hold on to things. And in my particular situation, when, you know, I decided to have a voice in that scenario, everybody heard that voice. But it's probably not always the best thing to do is to keep something bottled in until, you know, you feel like you can't hold it anymore. But I guess that's another lesson to just teach me not to be playing small. Like, don't shortchange yourself. Like, I'm an awesome individual. What we're doing with Boss Fest is an awesome thing that we're doing. There's no need to play small. Like, I have meetings constantly, I won't say daily, but, you know, often, of people trying to figure out how they can be a part of this, how they can help with this, what the next move is. So don't shortchange what that value looks like. And then if you're talking about on a personal level, like, I have friends that have been with me, you know, for 13, 16. I mean, me and Aya were just trying to count. Her mom was counting with me, you know, just the weekend. And what, we were like 10th grade? Like, that's crazy. So just don't undervalue people that are supposed to be connected to you will be, and they'll see the value, and those that aren't won't.
That sounds amazing. Have you ever, question, have you ever, I ain't gonna say play yourself small, but have you ever held something in? Like, you really want to say something to somebody, they don't know you want to say it, there's not even a conversation about it, but it's like, man, I don't really feel comfortable right now, or this situation really ain't the best thing for me, but you just keep it to yourself. Have you ever done
every
that
day? And kind of
every day. She ain't talking about,
like,
me,
if I'm just talking to the women that may listen to this later, I'm sure there's, like, every day. So my brain just never turns off. So there's always a thought of something, and I tell myself, don't say it right now. Don't do it. Don't do it. And it's like the intrusive thoughts that I, like, argue with all the time. So to answer your question, absolutely every single day, probably multiple times a day.
How are you navigating through that? But do you think that's healthy?
I don't know if it's healthy or, well, you know what? It could be healthy, because if I said everything that I thought, it probably could make some situations and some relationships a lot worse than they are. So I guess healthy in that aspect. I guess it depends on what it is, right?
I guess I'm asking. I don't necessarily know. I don't have those moments, but they're not as frequent as I guess yours are. But I be looking at certain situations and like, man, you know what? This might be a good time just to shut up. I ain't even talking yet, but already in my mind, I'm like, man, you know what? Just shut up. This ain't gonna be good for nobody.
So
you really want to deal with it.
Like, talking about being in a 9-to-5 space, right? Like, okay. you alluded to earlier, like, we're both leaders in our 9-to-5 world. And in my moment of transparency, I just want to be honest, I don't want to be that anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to show up to that 9-to-5 anymore. But when you ask me about those thoughts, when I hear something, like, one thing that I do well, and I'm going to be like, let me start saying what I do well, is I teach sales leaders how to be better sales leaders, how to run teams, and how to get results. I teach that, and I teach that very well. So if we're in, you know, like, some type of environment and a leader above me says something, there's that thought where that's not at all what I would do. Like, that doesn't even make sense what you're saying. It almost, you know, like sometimes they talk and it's almost like someone who's never been a people leader before that is talking and you're like, where, what? So like those are thoughts that,
I say you talking to a boss, not a leader, but continue.
Right. But I mean, like, but that's not the right time. Right. So that's when you tell yourself, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing.
That's a great
and,
example.
For me, that works like a lot of the time until they say, hey, you have something you want to add to this? Or like, what do you want to do? And then it's like, oh, hell. And
then they open up the door for you to hit them with it.
Yes, and it's like the inner me is telling myself, don't you do it, don't you do it, and I'll do great. And then it's always something that I'm like, well, now you've done it. Now you've said the thing, you know, or here we are.
I love those moments because then I use them as plausible deniabilities. I even prepare people for them. I'm like, hey, just so you know, what I may say may be in contrary of what you may say. Are you sure you want to hear my opinion? Because I don't want you judging me differently because I see things differently based off of X amount of experience. I've done this in numerous situations with bosses and things of that nature, all the way up to VPs in my company. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I want to hear it. Now I'm really curious. I really want to hear it. So, all right, here you go. Then after I hit them with it, and I'm like, but I try to remember the 80-20 rule when I hit them with it. I try to hit them with the 80 good, but then I'll bust them with that 20%. That's almost like me slapping them in the face with it. But then I try to soothe them, like, hey, man, but, you know, I still love the company. I still love being here. But it's like, man, listen, you opened the door for me to slap you. So let me hit you with it because you aren't a real leader. You are a boss. You were put in this position to boss, to look at numbers and complain about numbers. I'm in a position where I talk to people, everyday emotions, feelings, you know, girlfriend issue, boyfriend issues, money issue, car issues, whatever the issues, like, and I have to look at these people in their face all the time. And you got some of these corporate keyboard gangsters that can file for 1,000 emails about why my numbers ain't this. But I'm like, man, do you understand what's happening on the ground level? So I take those moments. I love those moments because it gives me that time to slap the hell out of them. It's just me. That's me.
I'm gonna say, I guess, yes, but I think some of those time frames when you think about that, I have to reflect and say, are those points of, you know, like career movements that you didn't advance because your ideas aren't where they want your ideas to be? You think against the crowd, you know, almost, or certain things like that. But I can see where you're coming from, but that was my, you know, 9-to-5 example of how the intrusive thought is there and you just try your best, you know, not to let it go. And it also is an example of, you know, playing small. And I think that's the reason why, like, if I'm being transparent, why I'm like, hey, I don't like the 9-to-5. It's because it's a place that I go and I'm literally suiting up to play small. But
ooh, does your 9-to-5 make you play small? And the answer to that is yes. Ooh.
So in some certain settings, and I mean being a minority in certain leader groups, it's already like you have to play small, right? But yeah, I just can't stand it anymore. It pains me, and I feel like that's the point where it's telling me it's almost time.
Gotcha. So I know we're getting close to that time, but I do want to hit you with this one before we start wrapping things up. You spoke about being in the space this weekend and kind of lowering your head. Was it something different this time that made you do something that was completely out of character for you?
Say that again.
So typically when we go into spaces, you're the one with your head held high, pointing, talking, interacting. You said this time, you know, you just kind of was having your head down. You really wasn't trying to engage. Like, people were trying to get your attention and you really wasn't, like, you really wasn't focused on that. What was it about this moment or this time where it seemed like you might have been off of your game?
So that's the key question. That, you know, like the question that you're supposed to ask at the beginning of the show that gets it all. That's the question that unlocks it all. So the so the answer to your question is what I feel like was different for me this time was you.
Damn. Ooh. All right, y'all, we're going to end the show because I don't want to hear what the rest of that got. I don't even want that drama. We got to sleep beside each other tonight. Jesus. And one more Jesus like D. Simone. Jesus. All right, y'all. So that's it for the Boss Fest podcast. If you have not secured your tickets yet, go to www.boss-fest.com to get your tickets. We see the energy on the site. Things are moving. Do not be that person that missed out on this opportunity. I promise you, please, 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 please do not sell yourself short listening to somebody else who don't believe in your dream anyway. You'll be surprised how many times I talk to people who'll be like, oh man, I was going to buy a ticket, but such and such said this. Who in the hell? Does such and such pay your bills? Does such and such? So if you're going to allow such and such to control your narrative, then you might as well let such and such control your money.
I mean, you're not talking to those people anyway, so I don't think you should spend a lot of time there for someone who says I can't get in a room because somebody else said whatever. The room not for you anyways. Ooh. So definitely it is a ton more surprises, however you say that, that we have to unleash. I'm super excited about it. Like every time we unleash a surprise, we change the flyer, we do something. But when I tell you it is, we are in no sleep mode because there are so many different things that we are bringing to this conference. I'm excited for the amount of people who believe in the dream. And once you start seeing something that like you believed in for so long and other people saying like, man, I want to get behind that. I can see what you're doing. It's an exciting thing to be, somebody who says, man, hey, I want to come and give game to entrepreneurs in the local area. And like, are actually successful. Listening to Brandon Dixon on the stage at Podcast Summit saying, I worked for David Shands for 2 years for free just so I can get the game, just so I can be successful. That's an amazing thing to hear. Like, and these people are coming to give game to our audience at Boss Fest. Like, to me, that's exciting. For me, it tells me like we're on the right path, not only in our business, but bringing the education to other people. I encourage everyone, like as you see the information coming out for Boss Fest, Google, look these people up, look at what they can bring, the value. And when you're getting in the Boss Fest room, come with an objective, you know, hey, I want to meet so-and-so. Hey, this is what I'm trying to do, whether it's my next business connection, if I'm trying to get a sponsor for whatever I have going on, whatever it is, come with something in mind because they will all be in that room. And these people are tangible. You can touch them. And their success. Everybody can eat out here. You just got to get in the room.
So, October 5th, going down, Tampa, Florida, Boss Fest. Go get your tickets, www.boss-fest.com. There's a ton of discounts out there right now. Some of them are running out. You do not want to miss out on them. I know there's one that's going to end this Friday. The biggest discount we got ends this Friday. So I think it's 50% off code MMU. So if you saw that code and it was 50% off and you was like, man, I'm going to use that code. I promise you, after August 18th, your feelings will be hurt because it is not active and I'm not turning it back on. Those who want to get it, making moves, and they're definitely taking advantage of it, don't sleep. Go secure your ticket. Don't tell me you're going to be there. Just meet me there.
That's all we got for you. We'll see you next Wednesday. Peace.
Peace.